Galatians chapter 6 in your Bible, if you would, turn there, please. I want to just speak for a few minutes, and then we're going to go back into a worship service and just honor the Lord. I just feel His presence today. Amen? Amen? And what a wonderful work He's doing in our lives. His faithfulness goes so much further than the faithfulness of humanity, the faithfulness of any relationship you may be in, the faithfulness of any contract you may be bound to. God, His faithfulness. He holds His word, the word that you have, above His name. Did you know that? It's His bond. It's His promise to you. You have the word of life. You have direction and revelation setting before you in God's word. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. You know, I'm a casual observer of history. I like to read. I like to watch. I like to listen, and I'm one of those that feel that you can really learn from the discarded values of the past. You can look back at history and see mistakes that were made, and believe it or not, you don't have to make the same mistakes. But you have to look. You have to see it. I think about World War II, how that many would say the axis of evil infiltrated this world, that the devil himself possessed a man by the name of Adolf Hitler, who felt that he had enough power to conquer the European continent, that he could invade and occupy. And during this time in history, we were fighting dictatorship, we were fighting pathological leaders that were diabolical in every scheme that they did. And during World War II, we see this man, whom they call the Axis of Evil, coming out of Germany. He makes his way into Czechoslovakia. He has enough authority where he can go into Poland. Then he goes into Norway. And then he marches his troops into Belgium. And then he goes to the Netherlands. That wasn't enough. And then he conquered France. And then when he got to France, he set his sights on this place called the United Kingdom. And he had the world in his sight. But when he came to the United Kingdom, there was an imminent threat of invasion. And during this time, God ordained a man. A man by the name of Sir Winston Churchill, who became Prime Minister of Great Britain and the United Kingdom. And when he found out about the invasion, when he saw his allies like France, the Netherlands, when he saw them being captured, being invaded, when he saw the Nazi regime, the Axis of Evil, take over the very lives of people who were just willing to give in to it, see? He was pressured on every side to negotiate. He was pressured on every side to just say, let them come in. Let them fly their flags as long as we can live. But Winston Churchill wouldn't have it. And he squared his shoulders like a T-rail, and he made this speech. I want to read it to you, and I quote. He said, "We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills, and we shall never surrender." Then he went on to say, never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and godliness. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. And he ended it with these words. He says, never give up. And he spoke that before Parliament. And it wasn't long after that that Hitler and his regime began to see their demise, culminating with World War II, when this Axis of Evil, Adolf Hitler, took his own life because he realized at that moment He was not God. But I think about Winston Churchill, and I think about the words that he spoke. How that he stood to the forefront, and in essence, he told the world that he would not quit and that he would not give up. So I take you to Galatians 6, look at verse 9, the Apostle Paul. And I want you to read this, and I want you to take a breath of fresh air. Because as the Lord speaks his word, he's breathing his word. You get that? All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. In fact, Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 says that every word of God is pure. It is a shield to them that trust in it. And he says, do not add to his word and do not take away from his word, lest he rebuke you and you be found as a liar. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:21, he said, there's no prophecy of Scripture that's of any private interpretation. He says, but holy men of God spoke, and they penned the words of the Bible as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Job said in Job 32 and verse 8, that there is a spirit in man, and it is the inspiration, it is the breath of God that gives him the understanding. So when you speak his word, you are speaking and declaring the breath of God. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, everybody shout due. We shall reap if we faint not. Now in the Greek, it actually translates like this. And let us not grow weary. Let us not stay in a continual state of weariness. Let us not stay there. In other words, he's saying there are going to be some times that you're weary. There are going to be some times in your life you're going to want to quit. There are going to be some times you're going to want to give up and give in. But he's saying don't grow in that area. He's saying move from that area. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God has a timetable, doesn't he? He has a timetable for every seed that you sow. That means every word that you say. That means every dollar that you give. That means every action that you take. That means everything that you do on this blue marble planet. God has a timetable for you to reap a harvest. Now, it may be a quick one, or it may be a very long one. But aren't you glad that we can breathe in the scriptures today? And we have the promise that we don't have to get weary in well-doing. Listen to me today. We don't have to grow weary. I think about men of the scriptures. I think about men like Sir Churchill, who probably many times wanted to quit, many times wanted to negotiate with evil, many times wanted to give in to Parliament, many times wanted to just throw it all away and throw his hands up and quit. How many of you feel like that today? How many of you are in a place in your life where you just want to quit? You've been serving God with all your heart. You've been leaning on the promises of God. You've been standing true upon his word. But if anything, your life has gotten worse. There are some of you sitting here today that feel that very way. But I've been sent here today to remind you that you don't have to grow in that state. You don't have to stay there. You can take your place in the spirit. Remember what I told you last week? Fight from heavenly places. Don't fight on the same level as your enemy. You can't fight in the flesh and expect to win in the spirit. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And he says, cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've told you time and time again, you can't control what comes into your mind, but you can sure control what stays there. And I say it's time we do a cleaning. We start casting out everything that exalts itself against the name of Jesus Christ and bring into captivity his word and the promise of his word. Oh, I love what Isaiah said in Isaiah 40 and 31. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like an eagle. Let me teach you about the eagle for a minute. The eagle doesn't fly into storms. The eagle takes the wind of the storm and he uses it to carry him above the clouds that are causing the storm. That's what he's telling you there, that you can rise above the storm. You may be living in it. You may be abiding in a state of hell on earth right now. But even in that very state, you can abide in heavenly places, and it does not bother you. Contentment is not about losing all of your problems. Contentment is not about escaping all of your pain. Contentment is about having joy in the middle of a jail cell. Contentment is about saying, I rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. James said in James 1, 2, he says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, various kinds of tests. Notice he didn't say it was going to be joy. Notice he didn't say it was all going to be a bed of roses floating and tiptoeing through the tulips, popping the weak ones on the head and watching them fall out. He said, there's going to be some trials and fire and tribulation. He says, but through it all, God is faithful. I think about men in the scriptures, I think about Elijah. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17, if you would. I want to take you through his life. I want to take you on a journey. Elijah, a prophet of God, called to the forefront to save a nation. Elijah was called to go head to head, toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball with the wicked King Ahab and his wicked, manipulative, deceiving wife, Jezebel, who was bringing the nation into idolatrous worship, telling them to serve the gods of Baal. But when you look at Elijah's life, we always think about the chariot of fire. We always thinking about calling fire down from heaven. But have you ever read the account of his life? Let's go there. 1 Kings 17. And Elijah, verse 1, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years. So he's prophesying to Ahab, and he says, buddy, it's not going to rain for 3 years. They had already been in a six-month drought, so Ahab's not happy. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now Elijah was provided for, wasn't he? Elijah was in the center of God's will. He was following the leading of God's direction. And he is provided for. He has everything that he needs. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. Paul said, my God shall supply all of your need. Now, the most important part of that verse, you know what the word is? No. The most important word is your. He's talking to the Philippians there. He says, God will supply all of your.